Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Full EV or plug-in hybrid? Go electric with Kia. For more, log on to kia.com.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Abby, good afternoon.
Hiya, Joe. Good afternoon.
How are you keeping?
I've been better, Joe.
Okay. You're in a terrible dilemma at the moment, Abby. It's about your partner. We call him Patrick. It's not his real name, neither is Abby your name.
Yeah.
What's happened?
My partner of 3 years, Joe, is in addiction. And he... we were living together and we had a silly argument and I tried to give him tough love basically and sent him back to his mum's house and she lives in a different county and basically it's all after backfiring and it's all gone belly up basically. He's after falling into addiction. It started off with tablets and he was buying them off people and now it's basically heroin and crack that he's turned to, mainly heroin, but he's on a methadone program now at the moment and he just does not want to be on it and he just wants to be clean and there's nobody out there to help. He's crying out for help. He's linked in with addiction counsellors. He's trying to get onto the Peter McFerry stabilisation programme. He's done an assessment with Cool Mine. He's done everything. And they're all telling him there's months and months of a waiting list. And most places are actually telling him that that he needs to be clean before he goes in. Basically, they won't even take him while he's on a methadone programme.
And just go back to the incident, Abby, where you... As you say, tough love, where you you say you threw him out, but you asked him to leave, basically. What sparked that?
It was just a silly argument, Joe. It wasn't over drugs, it wasn't over anything like that, because he was the best in the world. Now, don't get me wrong, I know everyone has a past, and the whole life, he's the best in the world. He worked on construction sites, he's a labourer, he'd... turn his hand to anything. He was such a lovely, nice, like, fellow when I met him, and just we had a stupid argument, and I just kind of explored and said, "Look, you need to go back to your mum. Just give me a break and stuff like that, you know, kind of." And just to kind of make him cop on, I suppose. And you know, just to try and give him tough love and just to kind of know that, like, you know.
And was he using drugs at that stage, Abby?
No, that's the thing.
Had he used drugs before?
Yeah, he had. Okay. Now, we were together 3 years, but he was clean for like a year and a half before I met him.
So your belief is, and it's almost, I hear a sense of guilt, which you shouldn't have in your voice, but I can understand it. Your belief is that he went back on drugs after you said... You had the row when he went back to his mother.
Yeah.
And what's he saying, Abby? Is he saying, I went back on drugs because you threw me out?
Oh, Jesus, no. Okay. He's not blaming me at all.
Okay,
no.
Well, that's a good start.
No, he's not blaming me at all. Okay. I know he loves me. I know he'd do anything to fix this, you know, which he's trying to do.
You mentioned he's on a methadone program.
Yeah, he's on a methadone program.
Well, that means he's getting methadone from a doctor.
Yeah, he's getting methadone from a clinic. Yeah, he's collecting. Well, he's getting methadone every morning.
And I know there's lots of treatment centres that will not accept anyone who's any trace of any drugs in there. Maybe sleep medication that's sometimes accepted. Yeah. But there are places that will accept people who are on a methadone program. But there are detox units.
Yeah.
But you access them through the clinic.
That's right. Now, he has tried to access, is it St. Michael's Ward in Beaumont?
Yeah, Beaumont, yeah.
Yeah, and they have told him that he's out of their jurisdiction, that they can't take him. We've done the assessment with Cool Mine and everything, and Cool Mine have told him that they would take him once he's on 40 milligrams or less of methadone, and... That's he's on 30 milligram. So, like, he is trying, but, like, to cool mind, I've told him, like, there's months of a waiting list. Everyone is in the same boat.
How long of a waiting list, Abby?
Like, there's months of a waiting list, yeah.
Well, get on the waiting list for a start.
Yeah, yeah. Now, they said that they put him on a waiting list, but he doesn't have months. He's already after trying to commit suicide, and I found him on resuscitated and worked on him for 15 minutes while the ambulance and the fire brigade came.
So you're basically saying, Abby, you're looking, one, for a detox unit.
Yeah, he needs residential treatment is what he needs. He came off drugs before. He's never been in treatment before. He came off drugs before by himself.
Okay, that's tough.
Yeah, it's very hard. So I know he can do it, and he knows he can do it, but it's staying off them is the hard thing.
Yeah.
Like, when you go out his mum's front door, they're literally standing on the corner selling heroin and crack cocaine and tablets, and it's just there, you know. You know, I can't have, I have a child of my own. Like, I can't have someone that's on heroin or drugs around my child, you know.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
As much as I love him, you know.
And Abby, is he working, Patrick, as we're calling him?
No, he's not working now because he's fell back into addiction, but he's linked in with recruitment agencies, and they're texting him every single day with jobs and stuff, labouring jobs and everything, and start in the morning and things like that. Now, he went down and collected his methadone this morning, and he asked the doctor, he said, is there any chance that you can put me on maybe a pharmacy or something, that I could go and collect it in the pharmacy or something, you know? Instead of having to go to the clinic, or maybe he could collect it after work or something like that, you know. But the doctor just said no. He was just oh no, he said you have to stay coming here to get it or whatever, you know. And
would you be willing to go to the doctor with him?
Yeah, but it's in a methadone clinic, and I don't know, because of COVID and stuff I don't know if they'll allow me in or what's happening, you know.
And has he got a GP, Abby, do you know?
He does have a GP, yeah. His GP actually got him onto the methadone programme. He's linked him with counsellors, because his GP is actually after linking him with addiction counsellor and things like that. And he's basically said, this is no life. He said this he wants his old life back the way that he was when he was with me working. He'd go out and he'd come home every Friday without fail, and he'd hand me his wages. You know, he's a heart of gold. He's great. But just this is just after taking a hold of him, and you know, it's just he's gone, and his sister died a few months ago from drugs as well. And his mom is in her 70s, and she's just saying to me, I don't know what to do, where to go.
Yeah.
She is looking. They rang a private treatment centre yesterday in County Loud, and they even said that it was for 4 weeks treatment, and we were looking for €15,000.
I know. And I presume he doesn't have VHI or private health.
No, he doesn't. No, his mum was willing to go to, say, the credit union, and even, say, if it was a thing that she didn't realise that maybe how much the treatment would be, but she nearly kind of...
It's phenomenally expensive.
Yeah, when she realised it was 15,000, you know.
But Abby, did I detect there from what you said that his GP, I don't know whether it's a male or female, but is the GP... seemed to be a good contact, was it, in terms of getting him on the methadone program?
And
counselling.
He's been doing counsellor and stuff like that, but it's an addiction counsellor and stuff, and he's saying about suicide and stuff like that, and they're just telling him he feels that's in PA's house. We're literally at a brick wall. We don't know what to do, where to go anymore. Our hands are tied, and I know that there's thousands of people this in the country, but it's terrible.
But there's a number of pluses. One is you.
Yeah.
Two is his mother, who's obviously prepared to if she's prepared to go to the poor woman to go to the credit union, which is not the way to go, I think. And the credit union is great, but she's going to borrow 15,000 to.
I even told her if she borrowed half and I borrowed half, 4 weeks wouldn't be enough. Like, it really wouldn't. Like, it'd probably detox him off the methadone, but that'd be it. Like, he needs to... Like, the hard part is when you come out of treatment to stay off drugs, you know? I don't think 4 weeks would be enough.
I'm just trying to think of a way. One, to get him detoxed, which is not in a hospital. There's other units as well. Two, there are other places around the country that do take people who are still on but trying to come off. And obviously there's a contract. If you come in and stay on indefinitely, well then you're out. That's tough. Tough love, which is what you did as well. Which is, there's nothing wrong with that. I just wonder, is that GP another port of call? And I also just wonder, I'm not a qualified therapist in that sphere at all. But one, hopefully somebody is listening might be able to help us, which is the reason you contacted us.
Because you think
there's a catch 22. He wants help, but he's still using. And when he goes looking for help, now this is not everywhere. The Samaritans Beata House are brilliant, and we'll give out their numbers and later on in the program. But I'm kind of thinking that GP is a good person in terms of the GP that got him onto the methadone clinic, that got him counselling.
I think like his GP has basically said, look, like I think his GP is kind of at the point that where his GP, like she has said, like, look, like not basically, she hasn't really kind of directly said, like, look, Patrick, I've done everything that I can for you, but like she's kind of, her hands are tied too as to what she can do. Like she's gotten, like say, she's told him, she told him who to link in with, and he has went and he's done all this. He linked in with the addiction counsellor himself. He's doing like a lot of this. He's done off his own back through the advice of his GP. I think kind of his GP's hands are tied, like as to what more she can do. Like I don't think she can do much more. The fact of COVID and everything. I know they are taking people in. Obviously you have to maybe do the COVID test and stuff and isolate maybe or whatever while waiting on the results and things, but he's just willing to do anything.
That's what he has to draw on. That's what he has to do. He has to try and find that willpower which got him free a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And to remember the goodness that happens when he got free.
Yeah.
And one of the good things obviously is yourself, Abby. And this connection with your child as well, just that whole
really good, like with my son.
And that whole image of him working all week and then coming home to a warm, secure family and handing up his money. And he sounds like he's a very gifted young man.
Oh yeah, he's gifted. He turns his hand to anything, you know. He'd do anything for his heart of gold, and I know his heart's in the right place, but when he's like this, he just doesn't care about anything or anyone. He doesn't even care about himself. Like, you know, he doesn't even love himself at the moment. And, you know, like, and it's come to the stage now where he just said to me last night, like,
okay,
I'm better off just getting a rope out of the shed and just coming out to the park.
Well, you know he's not, and I know he's not. And he deep down knows he's not. But I know what that darkness, from talking to people in this program, that darkness is an awful
I just said to him last night on the phone, stay on the phone to me, talk to me. Don't do that. Like, we all love you.
Well done. And that's what you did.
Yeah, that's what I done last night.
And you did the right thing. You're brilliant. You did the right thing. And you're doing the right thing looking for help. And hopefully he will hear, I don't know, directly or indirectly, how upsetting the whole scenario. He knows it already, I suspect, how upsetting. But also how much love you have for him, his mother had for him, and how much hurt is there already with the passing of a sister, the untimely passing of a sister.
Yeah, but his sister was, you know, she's just kind of, she was kind of the light and soul of the family. And, you know, and he got the phone call to say that she was actually being found, you know. I think kind of, like, as I think we kind of lost him that day, you know. It's not easy, like, you know. Okay. Very, to be burying her sister, like, and there's, yeah, there was like 20 years of an age gap kind of between them, so she was nearly almost his mom, you know.
Yeah, as in many families.
Too, like, you know, she was there kind of.
Well, Abby, first things first, you have to look after yourself. You have to look after, one, because of you, two, because you're a mother and you have a young child there. So you've got to look after yourself. That's number one at this stage. Well, you'll tell me rightly so, your child is your number one, but the two of you have to look after each other. We'll get some ideas in. I know Fergus will talk to you later on in the afternoon about what reaction we got on the programme. But you're to stay safe and do exactly what you've been doing. Do exactly what you've been doing.
Yeah, and, all they can do is try my best.
You are. Well, you're doing your best. You're a great person.
Yeah.
And I'd say he knows you're a great person. And that's why he's battling on, and he will battle on.
I'm just hanging in there because I know the good person that he is. Like I'm not giving up on him, you know. And I don't think he's refusing to give up on himself too. But you know, he's just when he gets it into his head, I'm just terrified that I'm just going to get a phone call and, you know, say,
well, you won't.
He's gone, and
you won't.
Especially after him having doing it already, you know, and he was gone, like, Joe. I never seen a colour purple in all my life like I did when he was gone.
Who saved him? You did. But he has to know. He has to save himself. You will save him as best you can. But he has to save himself, and he's a million reasons to save himself, because he's been there before when he has been saved, and he knows how good it can be. So I know it's a really awful, awful, awful addiction. If he can, and with you and his mother and your son as well, see what light there is ahead, and the GP and people who are listening hopefully will ring in with
I'm
some
just
help.
Anybody, Joe, anybody that can help him.
Okay.
Anybody in any treatment centres or anything that is able to help him, please.
Okay.
I don't want to have to be burying him. Like, I'd rather, like, I don't want to be having to take a loan out of credit union for his headstone or for his funeral. Anybody that can help us at all, we'll take anything. It doesn't matter if it's 6 months residential treatment or anything, he'll do it. Like, you know, he's willing to do anything.
Abby, have you anyone there today that you can talk to? Have your mother?
Yeah, I have my mum.
Okay. You're a good person. You don't need me to say that to you. I hope I'd say a lot of people around you know it already, Abby. And I hope Patrick, as we're calling him, he realises it too. And if he does, well, then he'll see that there is light ahead.
Yeah, please, God, I really hope someone out there can help him and just save him. I know that he has to do the work
You're eminently sensible in terms of everything you've done and everything you say. So that's a brilliant, brilliant start. He's a lucky man, but he's a lucky man in that sense. But you'd say you're a lucky woman because you love him and you've seen how good he can be, and that will be seen again, hopefully, sooner rather than later.
It's terrible because addiction steals the most beautiful people, you know.
It's a scourge.
It's the nicest people in the world.
It's a scourge, Abby.
You know, and it's terrible. It's an illness, like, you know, everyone says, but sure, you make the choice. It's a choice, you know.
But it is, like, an illness as well. It is. You can't do it without help. You cannot break free without help. But he has help.
Nothing's going to change if nothing changes, you know.
He has help, but you want to get him more help and more direct, focused help. Okay, Abby, please mind yourself.
Thanks so much, Joe, for taking my call. Thanks for
contacting us.
Thanks a million, Joe.
We'll keep in touch, as I say, this afternoon.
Yeah, all right. Thanks,
Abby.
So much, Joe. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.